The Fable and Folly Network supports creators of exceptional audio stories, including the one you're listening to right now. If you love our shows, we want to hear from you. Complete our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey. This will help us learn more about you, what you like, what you'd like to hear more of, and how we can maintain an inclusive, safe atmosphere. As a thank you for your participation, we have extras and behind-the-scenes content from your favorite shows. Fans make the network what it is. Thanks for listening, and we can't wait to hear from you. Find our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey today. Looking to get out of the ads and back to the story? Fable and Folly Plus is a new way to support the creators you love. The podcast you're listening to right now and more than 60 others can be heard ad-free for as little as $4 a month by visiting fableandfolly.com/plus. And now, you'll start to see Fable and Folly Network shows are offering bonus content to all existing and new supporters. Find exclusive new episodes from shows like Where the Stars Fell, The Call of Cthulhu Mystery Program, and Civilized. Plus, early access to new episodes of Midnight Burger, all still entirely ad-free.
Hi, I'm Ryan LaPlante, and I'm one of the crazy founders of Dumb Dumbs and Dice, the podcast production company that's making the podcast you're listening to right now. Now, we're clearly busy. We're producing 5 weekly podcasts and a 6th event podcast, but we want to take this time to invite you to become a part of our company and a part of our Patreon at patreon.com/dumbdumbdice. You can get access to our Discord, access to exclusive DM and character chats. You can get the chance to name characters in our shows and vote on the way their stories will progress. You can even become a recurring NPC and hear yourself interacting with our characters each week through the voice of Tom. You can become a patron for as little as $1, and there's great value for you at even that level. So please, join the Dumb Dumbs and Dice family and help us make even more content in a way that you are guaranteed to love. That's patreon.com/dumbdumbdice. DUMBDUMBDICE. So let's do something dumb together, and thanks for listening.
I am Executron, god of merchandising, and I came into existence because Dumb Dumbs and Dice has its own merchandise. That's a god pun. Get it? Dice? Merchandise? Anyways, you can get t-shirts, hoodies, spiral notebooks, clocks, wall art, throw pillows, bags, and even stickers emblazoned with your favorite Dumb Dumbs and Dice characters and their catchphrases. There are plenty of different designs available, so there is guaranteed to be something you love. To show your love of Dumb Dumbs and Dice, go to redbubble.com/people/dumbdumbdice. That's D-U-M-B. D-U-M-B. D-I-C-E. One more time for the mortals in the back. Redbubble.com/people/dumbdumbdice. Get your merchandise today. All art supplied by the brilliant Decapitated Markers.
Welcome back to Dumb Scum and Villainy, a Dumb Dumbs and Dice podcast where professional voiceover artists and improvisers explore the underworld of this Star Wars Edge of the Empire role-playing game. I'm your host, Blotto the Toydarian. This series features our Game Master Tom McGee, Ryan LaPlante as Abraxas Brash Core, Tyler Hewitt as Vic Denbar, and Adam McNamara as the forgetful psychopath Waka Waka Fonzie. With Agrippa furious at our gang for their failed heist, our heroes have to figure out what to do next. Waka failed to get information by interrogating the crew, but Brash still won them over to our hero's cause. And Vic called home to find out his parents were not kidnapped, but he also discovered all of his fortune had been lost. There, you're caught up. So get out of my shop or spend money. No credits, only money.
Waka Waka Fonzie, You have been racking your brain trying to figure out whether or not you have a daughter. And it's always just a little bit out of reach. Seeing how it's odd because Vic got good news that his parents weren't kidnapped, maybe, but also bad news that all of his money's gone. So you're having a difficult time reading this because he seems both very sad, but theoretically very happy. He should be happy because he got good news, except maybe it wasn't good news. And that's concerning to you. So I think ultimately it seems like if I'm reading the room correctly, Brash you're unsure of which way to go at this point, whether to try and track the hackers to kind of get in with the Cup Syndicate, whether to just go to the Cup Syndicate. Where are you on this sliding scale right now?
I don't want to go to the Cup Syndicate with nothing. So I'm on like team hacker or team bail. Let's go find out what the weird sword is.
Great. So Waka, I think with Vic kind of dramatically announcing at the end of the last episode that he
doesn't care.
Yeah, that he's taking his ball and going home for now. I think it's up to you. So what in your heart of hearts, what do you think Waka Waka Fonzie wants?
I feel there's something of a truth that there is a kid. Like, I don't, maybe Agrippa knows I have a kid and is just using that. Like, maybe she doesn't actually have her, but it's kind of like, you know, if you go to like some place and you're carrying a bag and then you have to leave the bag there and you leave, but then you think, oh, like, did I forget a bag? Like, you know, that feeling like, I think I have something.
Like a maybe.
The
maybe
classic, oh, did I have a bag?
Yeah, did I have a bag? Yeah. Oh,
but my, did I leave my kid at the store?
Yeah, yeah.
But I believe they call it maternal instinct.
Yeah. Oh, I have a space bag?
Yeah, my kid's my space bag kind of thing. You know what I mean?
My space kid?
I feel
my
like
bag the, kid? Maybe your kid's name is Bag.
Bag, you're okay.
The most beautiful thing you've ever seen is a bag caught in an updraft.
But yeah, but I feel like there's some kind of truth.
Okay.
So I want to...
So answers probably, right?
Yeah, I want to confront Agrippa about it.
Okay.
Whether or not there is a kid, I feel like there is. I still think there's a kid, but I think she needs to explain herself.
Okay. Well, based on that and based on Brash, your kind of desire to not go to the Cup Syndicate with nothing, I think going after the hacker makes the most sense because that way you can hack into Agrippa's feeds. You might be able to observe the cells, figure out whether she actually has someone of yours, figure out whether Vic's parents just didn't realize they were kidnapped, which is a very viable possibility based on their lack of understanding of
he may not have even owned a droid named Milo.
Did we have this? I guess. I don't know.
I think the droid's legit, but...
yeah. Well, I mean, the droid's real. Is it theirs?
Yeah, well, that's a question for you. Vic, do you think you would remember the help?
I'd remember Milo because he wouldn't fucking stop introducing himself to me.
So
for some reason, we never got that fixed.
You definitely recognize that Milo is your family's robot.
Yeah.
But do you remember if there was, in fact, a bowling alley in your basement? Your basements.
There could have been. I'm not much of a bowler, so there's no reason for me to go into that particular quadrant of one of our basements. So... I mean, it might be down there.
So, unresolved questions. Excellent. So, with that in mind, I think, Waka, for you, with your kind of military sensibility, like, Agrippa has a fortress. So, like, just showing up and trying to take it by force is impossible. Infiltration also seems very unlikely because she basically controls the whole moon of Varos. So, tactically, because I think the part of your brain that's kind of the most functional still is your tactician's brain. I think tactically you're like, okay, we need information because I want to confront her, but we can't just storm the gates.
Yeah.
So it sounds like recon is the way to go unless
100%.
You want to go. Yep. Yep. All right, cool. I looked at Vic like he's going to weigh in, but he's too busy drinking mudslides.
He doesn't care. He thinks he's fine. He's poor, but he's fine.
I am hardly fine. Well, okay. Then one of the droids has to look after Nyx.
Sweep, sweep. And Dibs is like, no, I think I am better at this. He just starts shaking his arms. Wake up. Wake up. Wake
I
up.
I pull the gun on Dibs. I owe these
whoa,
droids
whoa,
nothing.
Whoa, whoa, hang on.
Correction. Nyx is now the co-pilot. He will be staying with me in the cockpit. I will walk him. You will stay here.
Kano's like, actually, I'm not bad with medicine. I had to kind of, when I got this cool faceplate... It got real infected. I learned a lot of stuff real fast.
Or we could make the fork gun, Kano, buddy.
You've got Shatterstar there, my friend. It Shatterstar knows her
Shatterstar's guns. Like, wait, you want a fork gun? I can make those.
Ooh, yeah. Bye, Kano.
Okay, Kano, do you know what, Kano? I want to watch you look after Nyx for like a good 30 seconds, and I just stand there because I want to see if he shakes him or does something terrible like everyone else
like,
has done.
Yeah, all right. So Kano starts like looking through the supplies to see kind of what he has and setting up like a little like when he's taking care of him. Understand, this isn't like someone with medical skills. It's kind of the way someone like at a tattoo parlor is like, I'm very good at keeping my guns clean and keeping your like tattoo from getting infected. So he's like setting up a little station, and it looks like he's kind of got some disinfectant and stuff, and
he's
just starts
to put a fucking plate on Nyx's face.
He just starts kind of investigating the damage to Nyx.
Is and it a bunch of face plates? Like, yeah. This one?
Yeah, just holding up spoons, being like, maybe.
Left or right.
So he but he seems to be doing an okay job.
Okay, great. He can do that then.
Great.
Kano's in charge. No one else touches Nyx except Kano, and Kano, no surgery without permission from me.
Okay, you know, that's a good caveat. Thank you. And he looks in his bag of faceplates, and he's like, oh, one day, ladies. it's the mysterious satchel that I never mentioned he had. Okay, wicked. So, Brash, you go back up to the cockpit and kind of strap yourself in.
I don't even bother fixing the door. I'm like, fine, if he's going to come in, he's going to come in.
Yeah, it's true. Shatterstar just kind of like leans it up against the wall and then scrounges around for some material she needs for the fork gun.
Sweet.
And then, from the information Shatterstar gave you, you kind of have a bit of a triangulation of kind of where they were. That said, all she knows, the most recent information she kind of heard through the grapevine, is that the hackers seem to be operating out of the equivalent of like a Star Wars net cafe, on a sort of a backwater planet called Teva. So that was kind of the last place Agrippa had any knowledge of them being, and she sent a bunch of bounty hunters out there. But all of them returned empty-handed.
Interesting. Okay, so I know that planet, so I've got the details.
Yeah,
so we could go
there.
You
can punch it in. It's like the thing with Star Wars that I think the new movies kind of, and by new movies I mean prequels that are now 20 years old. Blue is the idea that like backwater planet truly means a place that you can find on a map, but it's like a small town in like America somewhere. You wouldn't just arbitrarily stumble into it. Whereas in the movie's like, oh, everyone goes to Tatooine. I'm like, fucking no. It's
the furthest place from
the bright center of the galaxy, you fucks.
Yeah, I think so. What I'd want to do then is probably, because I've got like some knowledge that I've learned from Xanatos over time of like smuggling tactics and other ways you can kind of pull shit off. Because if we know that's where they were active and they've kind of stop being active when a whole bunch of bounty hunters showed up. I don't believe they stopped, but I believe they hid. So what I'd like to do, and this might take a little bit of time, but I can probably just tell anyone who's mad. I mean, he's got a fork gun and he's just getting drunk, so I got time. like hyperspace to the edge of the system and then do that thing where you turn off everything except life support and sensors and just float through to see if I can pick up signals from anywhere.
Okay. Yeah, that's cool. So can you roll me, I'm inclined to say I'll give this to you as a streetwise check, a skullduggery check, or an astrogation check.
They are all equal. So let's say astrogation. You know, sure. I got to practice my flying.
Cool. So will you punch that in? I'm going to check in with the other two dudes.
Would it be agility, intellect? What does it use?
Sorry. Astrogation uses intellect.
Great. Yeah, sold.
Cool. So we cut to the engine room where there are some kind of like, there's like a workbench. I'm thinking very much in like the Mass Effect, like, oh, there's just always a workbench when you need to upgrade your shit. That Shatterstar has kind of got set up. And she actually looks pretty impressed. She's like, oh, this ship was a good call. It's better equipped than I thought it would be. So listen, you're calling it a fork gun?
Yes, please.
okay. Now, what do you think a fork gun does?
Well, I mean, let's break it down. So, what's it called? Fork gun. What's the first word? Fork. What do forks do? Stabbing.
Stabbing,
so
yes.
So, I think it's a stab gun.
Well, you are partially correct.
Oh!
So, she basically, she puts it together and essentially...
Like that quick? Oh, man.
I mean, she starts tooling it and she's like, I don't have everything I need here, but I can get it partially functional for you. And besides, you already had some bits from Kano, so... Oh, that's right. She basically sort of welds the fork onto the front of it. And basically, it's a slug thrower rifle. So what it'll do is it actually uses ammo. So it's better against laser shielding, but it is worse against armor.
Do I add this to my weapon?
This is a brand new fucking weapon you can add to your shit, sir. So it is ranged heavy.
Sweet.
Damage 7.
Oh, hold on a sec. Took me a while to write fork gun. Heavy. So wait, is my skill heavy?
Yeah, you should have heavy as a...
Skill heavy. Damage is...
7.
Oh, so my blaster rifle is better than my fork gun.
Well, except that it has crit 5, so it does critical damage.
Oh.
Slightly better critical.
And the range is short.
Range is medium.
Oh, medium. Medium. And, there's a special. What does special mean?
So the special in this case, it is, you can just write in basically...
Fork.
Yeah.
Just write Baby Yoda.
Utensil.
Yeah. So there's two things for this. Well, three things, actually. So one, you can also use it as a vibro sword. Or sorry, a force pike. That's what I meant. So if you get into melee combat, you can basically use your gun without having to like put it away and pull out like something else.
Like a bayonet kind of thing?
Like the knives you're like covered in.
Yeah. Oh. So it's literally like if someone rushes you, you can use it kind of like a, it's not quite as long as a bow staff, but it's like the length, think like a musket. Like it's sizable and it's got stabby forks.
All right.
So force pike is melee. It gives you +3 damage.
Wait, do I write this down too?
Yeah.
I have another weapon?
Cool. Just it's different stats for
the same weapon. It's just if...
It's another basically use for the fork gun.
Yeah, so stats for if you're using it as a long rifle, and then stats if you're using it for stabbing.
Okay, so I'm going to write skill stabbing.
Sure. Skill is melee, but you can write stabbing if you want.
Oh, okay. Okay. I'm just under the weapons.
I understand.
So fork gun, I'm making a little sub-menu here. Yep. Melee... I didn't spell that right. And what's the damage?
+3.
It's not bad. And the range is short.
Engaged, which means you're in fisticuffs.
Oh. That's where you can write stabbing.
Engaged. And then the
crit?
Crit.
So crit is 2.
2 crit.
It also has pierce 2. Which means it ignores 2 points of soak damage.
Oh, cool.
Just write that next to it under the special.
Okay. Yep. I'm looking for the Pierce column. All right. Oh, yes, of course, Pierce.
Add 2 points to Pierce.
Yeah,
Pierce.
Two points to Brosnan. Yeah.
Pierce.
And 2 points to
Golden
Chevy Chasing Community.
Yep. Oh, there we go.
Hawthorne, yeah.
Pierce +2. I'm going to put...
I only got there because you bought me enough time by making a Brosnan joke.
All right, so I have Pierce... +2 stabby.
Yeah. So the she's a little bit disappointed because there's one more feature for the fork gun that requires electrical components that she doesn't quite have. Mm. So it's an incomplete fork gun. So we'll call it like a minor fork gun for now.
It's a tuning fork gun.
Are there things on the ship that I could use to complete it?
No. If she had those, she would have used them.
Like the warp drive or something. This will work.
It's one of those things where, yeah.
This is why I locked the engineering room. Just he can't get in
tool
there.
Tool time, it's just like, ho, 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 ho.
He has no access to the armory or engineering. This is why I did this.
Does Shatterstar?
No, because I locked it to just
good
me.
Good man. Good man.
Yes. Uh-oh.
I don't know why, but just sitting in the cockpit, I'm like, ah, my paranoia paid off.
Looks like Team Shatterstar is blasting off again.
Hello, everyone. This is Tyler Hewitt, just coming at you with a little special offer for you. You know, if you're a fan of what we're doing here on the show, then we have, to borrow a phrase from Jerry Holkins, a patron-oriented experience tailored just for you. If you go to
patreon.com/dumbdumbdice.
You can sign up and get a bunch of special features that we're not really going to make available to anyone else, so do that now. Well, not right now, but, you know.
All right. So, yeah. So you've got that, Adam. And basically, the other thing I will give you on that is because it's like a scoped rifle, if you take the time to aim and line up a shot, you can write +1 advantage. So basically, ooh, if you're lining up a sniper shot, you can change one of your greens to a yellow.
Ooh, okay, so I'll do sniper plus one advantage.
Yep.
Okay.
So there you go, everybody. You can cancel your Disney Plus subscriptions, ooh, because fork guns have come to Dumb, Scum, and Villainy.
Well, now wow. I know. Now I know what they do.
You think.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Oh, it's not even complete. It's like a,
exactly.
It's like a yeah. medium fork gun. It's yep. a dessert fork gun.
I love that fork gun up. Wicked. So she's like, yeah, it's been a long time since I made one of these. They aren't very popular anymore, what with the blaster rifles and all, but you seem really keen on it. So
I do seem very keen on it. Can you make one for my bike as well, please? Can I have one that comes out of the front of my bike? Okay, first fix my bike. And fix my bike, and then I want double the flames that happened before it blew up. And then I'd like a fun fork gun on the front of my bike so I could, like, kind of run into people, stab, shoot them.
Okay. Waka Waka Fonzie, you have some very specific ideas about weapons and armament, and I'm very impressed. But what's in it for me? What's in it for Shatterstar?
Oh, well, what do you want? I'm here to help. Like, I'm pretty big. I'm good with knots. I can...
Which I'll is an like, amazing thing for him to discover. Are you lying about being good with knots?
No,
you
no,
just know right
I,
now
I just remembered it. It's like, yeah, I'm really good with knots. Like, hey, if you do this for me, if you make the Righteous Indignation Mach 2, I will forever be in your debt. And whatever favor you ask of me, I will do 1,000% without any hesitation or thinking about any of the consequences that anybody might think or object to. I will do it.
A very alarmingly gleeful grin spreads across her face, and she extends a hand. She says, you got yourself a deal. Also, you may not remember this because I know, you know, brain stuff. This means we have a deal if okay. you shake hands.
Sounds good to me. And then I give her a hug.
Over your shoulder, her grin gets wider, and she just mutters, I'm coming, you son of a bitch.
She's really happy.
All right. On the other end of the emotional spectrum, Vic, you're sitting in your lounge, behind you. Kano is like tending to Nyx, but I think you've told him to shut up a couple times. So he's trying to do it real quiet.
Yeah.
Like a kid at Christmas. So, Shake Shake is just kind of, or Dibs, I guess, is cleaning up behind the bar. And finally, he turns around and, like, cricks his arm in, like, a leaning pose and then just tilts until he lands on it. And he goes, I have been programmed for bartender small talk. You look glum. What's going on, Vic?
I just found out that, Coruscant? No, Alderaan. Oh, boy.
Oh, you mean the planet?
No, Vic says I just found out that Coruscant blew up.
Wait, the Imperial Capital blew up?
No, I mean the one that had all my money on it.
Oh.
Alderaan.
Oh.
Alderaan?
Yes, the peaceful planet that was destroyed by the Empire some time ago. The one that is common knowledge, even to a simple shaking bot like me.
Yeah. Yeah, you simple, simple shaking bots. You don't know how good you have it.
Well, sir, I have never
I'm burdened with knowledge.
That
you know?
Does sound problematic. I'm only burdened with servitude.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, Vic, who are you without your money?
Vic's eyes go, like, fucking wide as dinner plates. Just, he was like, playing with cards, like, kind of, like, shuffling them back and mm-hmm. forth. And as they're like, who are you without your money? They just, like, explode out of his hands. And it's like, Who is Vic Denbar without his money? Like his hands start to shake. He like puts them on the bar. He's like, I need another drink. I need two other drinks.
Okay, I will start making those. But I guess I only ask because, sir, it seems to me that when we first made our acquaintance, shake, 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 and then he pours out the first one.
I'm downing it.
Oh, okay. I guess I do not need to worry about the artistry. Shake, shake. Shake. There you go. Here is a second one.
And down the hatch with that one.
Oh, dear. Listen, when we first made our acquaintance, I was very impressed that you were the world's, nay, the galaxy's greatest gambler. It would seem to me.
What the fucking rinky-dink poker player operation do you think I run?
I have never left the pleasure tumor, sir. This is my first time in space.
Oh.
Well, all right.
It is majestic. Shake, 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 shake.
If you never left the planet, I was the best on the planet. That's a start.
Okay. Well, in any case, I think it's pretty great that you can just get all your money back. All you need to do is win a bunch of times. Should not be any difficulty for one such as you. Shake, 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 shake. Oh, I'm sorry. That was a glitch. There was no drink this time.
Yeah. You're right. You're right. It's like, it's just like a game. Like the chips are down.
That is correct. Well, technically, the chips have been blown to atoms along with many innocent lives.
Well, I mean, whatever. The chips are down. No, don't stop distracting. I'm trying to think. I'm down, and Agrippa is up. And what I need is a big, bold gamble. That's what I need. And then I can just win it all back in one play. And she has to either call my bluff, but what does she have to gain? I've got nothing to give her. Oh, this is perfect. Yeah, yeah, this is perfect.
Good plan, sir.
Yeah, yeah. And I say out loud, not realizing, I think, how much time has, like, passed. I'll just be like, Brash, we're going to assassinate Agrippa. That's the plan. I, like, turn around, and, like, the place is, like, empty. It's just Nick's, like, trying to sleep.
Yeah, Kano just kind of gives you a look and goes, yeah, cool, man.
Yeah, yeah. She won't see that coming. And she'll blink when she sees me coming head on. That's the plan.
The ship comes out of hyperspace in the sort of edge of the system that Teeva is in. It's a small system. There's sort of a, you know, a bluish sun glowing kind of in the distance. Teeva seems to be a fairly small, relatively rural planet nearby. But Brash, you're staying at the edge. So you built your pool to roll, yeah?
Yeah.
Great. So go ahead and roll that and let's see what you're able to pick up.
Are you going to add anything to the pool?
Yeah, I forgot I have to do that in this one. So
I was happy for you to not. It's up to you, though.
Then you don't need to roll dice. Okay, so I'm going to say this is a pretty empty system, so I'm only going to make this level two, so two purple check, because picking up signals from the way you're trying to do it should actually be fairly noticeable. But I'm going to spend a point of destiny to upgrade it. Because despite kind of the confidence that you're relaying to everyone else, this is kind of the first time you're running a job on your own. And the stakes are pretty high with kind of forces arraying against you. This is a pretty big get for you. And I will give you two boost dice for using the ship systems.
All righty. I'm just looking at the difference between threat and failure. Okay. That goes and that goes. These guys take each other. Two successes.
Two successes. Oh, nice. Okay. So there's no kind of obvious here there be hackers.
science. Yar. Yar. It's space hackers.
Here we are.
We're hiding. Zara 10101011.
That said, you do eventually pick up what seems to be a very faint relay signal. There seems to be kind of a planet with a fairly heavy sort of asteroid belt around it. And you're getting a faint ping off of one of the asteroids. It seems that there's a comms relay station that seems to be acting irregularly.
Oh, man, I want to head for that then. Yeah, like I wait until I'm sure there's nothing else and then just hone in on that one.
Cool. So as you kind of fly up towards the asteroid, you can see it's actually fairly large. It's almost a small moon. There seem to be a bunch of kind of larger ones amidst the kind of small debris. You can pick up a faint signal. A sort of a cursory glance of the system's records shows that this station is called Comstar Pegasus, It's part of the Comstar network, which are essentially just relay stations through kind of lesser known systems that allow things like net cafes to exist and connect to the Holo web and Holonet,
Holonet, yeah.
And just kind of receive and transfer things. It also helps with hyperspace lanes. So yeah, you're getting a ping from that. That said, the signal does seem to be slightly irregular.
Yeah, if it's like on the surface or whatever, like I want to go down to it.
Okay, so as you begin to fly in closer, suddenly you start to get several signatures of ships that are kind of not in orbit around this very large asteroid, but kind of parked nearby. And all of them have, as your smuggler eye would see, very, very blatantly fake, like, oh, it's an iron ore transport. Oh, it's another iron. It's the Flowers by Irene thing. It's like they're clearly
Flowers by Irene.
Clearly suspicious vehicles.
Just flower trucks just in space.
Yeah, just space flower trucks. You can get, I think, probably like a quick schematic that suggests the Comstar Pegasus station is actually sort of a small research post that has the comm station on it. And from this distance, you can see kind of a large O2 bubble around it. So there's kind of like basically a blister on the asteroid. And you can see some like a mining station and some other things from distance. And then some ships just kind of hanging out nearby. What do you do?
I want to calm in, like just send a signal and just be like, this is the pilot of the Brash Boy coming in, requesting berthing.
And you kind of hear some confused muttering and are you reinforcements? What's going on? We're doing fine. We've seized control of the station. Everything's fine. We just haven't found them yet.
Well, you know, I'm here to help. It's a gift. It's a curse. But you know, I find people and I help people find people.
You're really gonna need to roll some dice. me a deception, please. So I'm gonna say this is 4. Purple, because
oh boy,
you just ay. Showed up out of nowhere and declared that you're secret backup.
I should just sit in the gun seat.
I would like to spend a point of destiny because I am destined to not die this day.
You don't say. Vic and Fonzie, I'm going to say, yeah, Fonzie.
I'll radio through the ship and be like, things might go real bad, real fast.
Vic, is there any way you want to try and assist this?
Do we have Top Gun and Bottom Gun? Because I thought we sent Kano to one before and Walker to one.
Yeah, it's again, if you've played Shadows of the Empire, it's that ship. So think like a smaller Millennium Falcon. The cockpit is off to one side. The central part is kind of a large circular body with like blasters up top, blasters on the bottom, and then a cannon on the far left.
Dearest Vickery, if you want to take a gun, that's an option.
Yeah, no, this is new Vic. This is chips are down Vic. Yeah, I'll take a gun. I'll shoot some motherfuckers. I don't care.
Vic, you go to the armory and grab a gun.
Yeah. the door's locked. He can't get it.
He has my gun.
You pull out your pistol.
If I could make a suggestion, maybe we get Kano, who has gun experience, to shoot the guns. And maybe he can watch the sick guy in the room.
Kano can come with me and offer helpful suggestions.
I'm really just gotta stay on the comms.
Because I'm
still trying to have a conversation as this is happening.
I'm taking action. I'm kicking ass and taking names.
Look, you may be king in the card room, but I'm king in the war room. So you better not screw this up. My daughter's life is on the line.
I have never screwed up a single thing in my entire
life. Is Vic going Top Gun or Bottom Gun?
Top Gun, because it sounds cooler.
All right. And then I reach out and I just depower the Top Gun until combat starts.
So he can't just shoot people.
All right, wicked. Go ahead and roll your dice there, Ryan.
How's it look? I didn't see your last dice pool.
It's not great.
No. Oh, yeah, no, that's not great.
We can also throw in some Top Gun references.
Terrible, but it is bad. It's one failure and one threat.
Okay, so One of the very, very innocuous ships starts flying towards you. And you can see that its guns are, like, its weapons are powering on. And it says, listen, this is space flower delivery business. you might want to fuck off or things are going to get a little bit hairy. And then for the threat, he sees the top gun turret spinning in circles and aiming. He's like,
and it's just me trying to get into the chair, and it's just, it's spinning around, right? And it's just, I can't get my leg up into it.
Hey, you better power those guns down, or we're going to have a problem. And then another ship starts to pull in.
Okay, listen. And I'm still not in the sea, but I get on the comms like, just let me know when to open her up, boys. I'm ready.
Okay, well, your friend clearly just calmed us that he wants to open them up, so I guess go fuck yourself.
Wait, who's this?
This was a private conversation. All the weapons on and the shields to max. We're fucking doing it.
Okay. And with that, they open fire.
This episode of Dumb Scum and Villainy features the voices of Ryan LaPlante at the Ryan LaPlante on Twitter, Tyler Hewitt at Tyler_Hewitt on Twitter, Adam McNamara at Adam McNamara 13 on Twitter, and our fantastic game master, Tom McGee at McGeeTD on Twitter. This episode was edited by Ryan LaPlante, and all of Dum Dums and Dice's art is by Decapitated Markers at Decapitated Marker on Twitter. That's MRKR. Our theme song is In Orbit by Kronox, and our ad music is No Control and Chiefs by Jazzar, J-A-H-Z-Z-A-R, all available at freemusicarchive.org. When it comes to Dum Dums and Dice, you can visit our website at dumdumdice.com. Our Twitter and Instagram are at dumdumdice, and on Facebook at facebook.com/dumdumdice. But most importantly, we've got merchandise at redbubble.com/people/dumdumdice, or you can join our Patreon at patreon.com/dumdumdice. That's DUMBDUMBDICE. Now get out of my shop. I'm a Toydarian. Your Jedi mind tricks do not work on me.
Dum Dums and Dice has to give a special thank you to the supreme beings of our Patreon at this time. Christian Manicola, Long Long, Jason Denson, James Cuellar, DM Rob, Christopher Little, and Jill and Noel LaPlante. If you want your name to be added to this list, you can join our Patreon too at patreon.com/dumdumdice. Thanks to them, and a little bit of thanks to you.
The Fable and Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.